In May, WOOC correspondents Kim Tatio and Jim Welch interviewed Troy's Deputy Mayor Monica Kozeski. This is the second part of that interview. In the first part, which aired last week, we covered the garbage fee. In this segment, we look ahead at what lies ahead for solid waste management in Troy and more.
I think it's really exciting to hear about the Citizens Advisory Group. How can people get involved in that?
So if they want to email Tyler Holloway or myself, they can email me at City Hall or put a call into the mayor's office. We can actually recommend you for the group. We're going to try to hopefully form that advisory group. And then so it's really important because we're looking at the sustainability of this as well, too, because we're going to have challenges going forward. This isn't just about today. We're trying to build a program that will survive and sustain ourselves and be able to morph into what it needs to be as changes happen. We know solid waste industry as a whole is changing rapidly. Landfills are capping out. We're having problems. Half of our waste goes to Seneca Falls, not Colony, as many people think. So we're going to have to account for that in the future. Rising increases in the tipping fees, we're going to have to take into account. So it's going to be really important to make sure that committee, our hope is that while they'll meet monthly now to develop this plan and be able to help launch this plan, we want them to continue in the conversation, probably on a quarterly basis, so that we can kind of analyze how trends are going. We can get reports from our transfer station to say, you know, what's our recycling rate looking like this quarter? What's our compost rate? You know what I mean? So we can do all of those things. If we need to tweak things, that's when we can redo all of that. So that group, while it's really important for them to meet right now, I think it's more important that we keep them together for the long haul.
And you had mentioned a recycling coordinator. So can you tell me about that?
As part of the budget process, we knew that to go into this avenue, we were going to need help. I can only do so many things. And as much as I always have the desire to learn about something, I know that I don't have the expertise needed to implement a solid waste plan. But there are people out there who do. And so Tyler Holloway, we canvassed it. We put it out publicly, obviously. And Tyler Holloway applied. If many people know him, he was in the composting industry for a long time. He actually helped us with some of the early days of composting here in the city, too. It's tremendous knowledge in the industry and has literally dug into it. He's been with us for 2 weeks, and I think he's done 6 months worth of work already. He's already contacted DEC. He's already looking at the Alamo. We want to reopen it, but we want to make it even more efficient. We're looking at our green, you know, composting, you know, the brush and leaves and all that kind of stuff, and how we can maintain that in-house, make sure it's a clean mulch so that people can come and use it, and then they can put it in their flower beds. We can use it at the golf course. So he's taking a look at all of those avenues too. So
I was thinking, I'm not sure if everyone knows about the fact that people can drop off their food scraps to be composted. Jim, I was wondering if you could tell people about the Troy Zero Waste compost area.
Sure. Every Saturday at the Troy Farmers Market, indoors or outdoors, we have some barrels available for people to come by and drop off their kitchen scraps if it's convenient for them. And we actually take them to a local site here in Troy to be composted. So your food scraps stay local and are currently being used to build soil on urban garden lots here in Troy.
So you can take those food scraps, you know, using the waste as a resource and get them out of the landfill.
So can I follow up a question?
Yes.
So, Jim, this was actually asked to me last night at the neighborhood meeting that I went to where we had a conversation about solid waste, is they asked if the compost that you generate out of that, is that available to the residents? And I remember, what was it, a few weeks ago, you actually did a garden demonstration or soil demonstration. Is that an opportunity for the location that you guys do the composting at? Are residents able to come and get nice, rich soil for their gardens?
Well, we haven't formalized anything because really there hasn't been any request. I actually, one of the things I've been doing on the side is making a soil blend from the compost made from the food scraps we get at the market. And it's something I sell. It's a lot of work. I have to get paid something for it. But I do offer a discount for people who are regularly contributing at the market if they want it, if they want some of that soil blend. We're open to other policies around that food waste, but right now, just on the volume we get, we're able to manage it at very little cost. And Certainly, if people are interested, they should let us know, and we can try and work out something to do with that.
There's two other sites, one in South Troy and one in Lansingburg, that are also putting out offers to do inviting community in to help compost Dara in South Troy, and also Christian up in Lansingburg. They've gone to their neighborhood groups, which is really important because they're reaching out and they're looking to work with us, you know, as everybody's trying to. What I can tell you is there's people who said, okay, you know what, it's a fee, we can reduce a fee, let's see what we can do to reduce a fee, right? So, which I think is awesome. And I think that we need more of that mindedness to help wrap our arms around this. So what's been really great is they've gone to each one of their neighborhood groups. They've offered this out to, they're using it locally as well on their own gardens and that kind of stuff. But they've got to the point where they said, you know, if we can get enough of this going on, just like at the farmer's market, then we need to start looking at community sites. So Tyler's actually been already started, you know, scoping some stuff out and seeing where that could be a potential, or if there's a way for us to, you know, go on to the next level of that and what does that compost plan look like. So I think it's really interesting because I'm a firm believer in it, especially if we can give it back, you know what I mean, or have some way for it to be reincorporated back into the city. But I think it's also important to note that recently, just out of all of this, some of this good is coming out and people are saying, hey, you know what, we want to help you as our neighbors. And you know what, you can use our compost site to be able to deliver your stuff as well.
That's great. Do you think the city would ever have, well, I have two questions. Do you think the city would ever have a map of the community compost sites in Troy that are accepting food scraps?
Oh,
maybe we could add that. Maybe that could be added to like the website or something.
No, absolutely. And I think as we go forward with this citizens advisory group, I think all of those things need to come to light so that we can, you know, have almost like its own landing page and say, these are the places you can recycle. These are the places you can do your textile recycling. And these are the places you can do composting. And, you know, this is where you can pick up mulch. You know what I mean? Like,
awesome.
So I think it's a community education, but to the degree of, you know, also making sure that people know where to find that info.
On this topic of, you know, composting locally and building soil locally, we know there are a couple of people who have been sort of pioneering urban agriculture here in Troy, and not without some hiccups. Is that becoming a big enough issue that the city is starting to look at policies around that? Is there anything you can comment on there?
Absolutely. I do believe I was called the chicken lady last year because of the issues in South Troy. I don't know if most people know that I grew up on a farm, Western Pennsylvania. I grew up on a beef cattle farm, had chickens as a kid, butchered chickens as a kid only once, though. My grandmother had to do the rest of them because I was done with that. You know, so I think it's really important. You know, there's community gardens and there's urban agriculture. You know, they're distinct and different in my mind. And I think and there's urban farming, right? So if you look at our current legislation, I think the only thing you can't have in the city of Troy is swine, because the policy that was developed is so old. So you can have horses, you can have sheep, you can have goats, you can have whatever you want in the city. Hopefully we don't get too many of those right now. But yeah, so it's like literally limiting just swine from the city. You can have roosters, but then there's a noise ordinance, and that's what everybody falls back on, obviously. So I think it's really interesting. And when I was doing economic development with the city, especially coming into North Central, you have Collard City Growers was starting to make their movements, and working with Alex when he was working with it, and just walking around the community. And coming from a very rural location, you know, we had 100 acres. So if you had something stored on the back 40, nobody ever really saw it, right? Urban agriculture is such a different elephant just because of the fact that everybody sees it. It's in the community, it's in the neighborhood. So making sure that we are sensitive to the fact that a lot of people have probably never seen an actual live chicken and don't really understand the concept of that, or ducks, or where eggs, or those kinds of things. So making sure we're pretty sensitive to that. So I think it's obviously time for that. We've seen major metropolitan areas like Detroit actually embrace it, whether it's through rogue initiatives, because a lot of their stuff happened on the underbelly, and then developed policy, which is, I think, how things happen, right? Things, you know, happen along on the quiet level, and then once it becomes usually out of something negative, a good thing happens, right? So somebody reports something, and then you create policy, and then you normalize it. And I think that's probably where we are right now. I think people want to do more. You see Dara down in South Troy. She's doing a lot of that initiative with an urban farm stand. She wants to grow what she wants to sell. I think that's awesome, especially when we're talking about food deserts, distressed communities. Those are things that are really needed. But I do think that there's some policy that needs to be developed around it so that we are really still sensitive to the people who chose to live in a city for city purposes and urban purposes, and make sure that they understand and appreciate urban gardening and urban farming as a whole, as a resource rather than a nuisance. So I think there's a lot of two-way communication that has to happen. But I think in developing that legislation and that policy, we have to bring the people to the table. We have to bring, you know, the Christians and John Cubitt and people who are doing these initiatives to the table to help us develop that policy. Like I said, it's very different. If you look at community gardening in New York City, it looks very different than community garden in Troy, New York. Not anything against Capitol Roots, but it's just a different initiative, and it evolves over time. And I think we're getting to that point where we need to evolve and we need to go to the next level, especially as they're becoming such community staples. Everybody's talking, at the Headley District, you know, Fifth Avenue up there where all the parking lots are, the people want to infill, but they want to create a bigger community garden for the residents, what they want to build and renovate for, so that people have that green space and have the opportunity to garden. It really helps that Kevin Betty is a big gardener himself, so he sees the importance of it. So as those kinds of pieces go, and as we develop these small neighborhood-centric areas again, as our comp plan relies on, I think that we'll see that policy. And I think that conversation needs to happen sooner than later, just because we have so many people out there doing it, and making sure all the right people are at the table is really important.
I want to just expand the conversation here a little bit. One of the reasons I'm supportive of this urban agriculture idea is that there are a lot of young people out there, a lot of people with student loans and so on, who it seems to me the economy isn't serving very well, and I think we need, from a point of view of strengthening our local economy, need to support have some deference for people who are trying new things like urban agriculture. But just more broadly, you know, do you have any vision about our local economy and things we can do to make it sort of be more robust here in the 21st century?
When you look at the city overall, and it's hard to look at, there's so much focus on downtown, right? So that's part of the challenge, is there is such a hyper-focus on downtown and the success of it. And we're starting to see it go north and south. And a lot of that indication, there's different metrics to that. You look at housing values, you look at housing turnover, sales volume, time on market, those kinds of things. We're starting to see that. And so we're seeing a lot of movement in that area. But what we're also seeing is there's a lot of movement of people actually staying, right? So a lot of people, whether they're students from RPI or people coming into town. So I think as industries grow, and we're really, our size and scale is really small business. We don't have really large footprints to put 100,000, 200,000 square foot Googles and all these other places. And I don't know if that's necessarily what we want to do, but we can certainly become a bedroom community to something like that that happens within the region. I think we have to be at the forefront of the table for the region and the regional conversations to say, hey, we're the cool kids in town. Everybody knows that. We do the best stuff over here, and we are opening and inclusive, and we welcome everybody to our city. So hopefully if they don't necessarily work here, they're going to live here and they're going to be part of our community. As far as the overall economics of the city and the economy, it's no secret that we have many distressed areas, and we have some people that are struggling. That's no, whether all age groups, all demographics, all everything. I think what I'm seeing over the past few years working for the city doing economic development, we have programs like the PTEC program. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's called the PTEC, all capital letters, and it's a consortium of people. Of it's Troy High School, Questar, BOCES, and they all get together. So they enter kids in, I think it's eighth grade, they apply, and they get entered into this PTEC program. And by the time they graduate from high school, and Hudson Valley is on the table, sorry, because that's the main component of what I'm going to say. When they graduate from high school, they actually graduate with an associate's degree. And they can graduate in a manufacturing field. You know, think of the solar energy program that Hudson Valley Community College has. They have the technology, the nanotechnology sector that they do a pipeline employment for, manufacturing sector. And so they can enter into those programs and partner up with an industry and a company, and then be able to graduate from high school with an associate's degree to be able to go out into the workforce and not have to go and make a minimum wage job or something where they have no benefits and they don't have a future. So having those kinds of programs, that program just started probably 3 or 4 years ago, and it's in its infancy stages still, and it's still kind of matriculating and growing. And we're starting to see Watervliet just announced that they started their program this year. So I think as those programs become more prominent, we also have opportunities like urban agriculture where people can be employed. Capital Roots is a great example of that and what they're doing up on 8th Street with the garden up on there, where they're using the students to be able to market it, go into Saturday Market and other municipalities, getting them out of the city, you know what I mean, getting them out of their world a little bit to discover new places, but also learning a trade, learning an industry, learning how to grow food, you know what I mean? I think all of those things are important. We always see on Facebook and social media about how kids need to learn how to garden so they can feed themselves. It's true. It's absolutely true. And every opportunity we can do to provide that opportunity for them, it just makes them a little bit more self-sufficient and self-sustaining. But as far as the other pieces go, I think it's a matter of we need to work with our partners at EOC, Youth Build, you know, Questar, BOCES, Hudson Valley, and make sure that the jobs that we have in our community, we have the pipeline for. Right. So as we are moving industries into the city, whether it's the creative economies, the technology sectors, Ross Valve and his manufacturing departments, that those industries match up to.
Oh, you've been listening to our correspondents on WOC, Kim Tatio and Jim Welsh, interviewing Troy's Deputy Mayor Monica Kuzieski. They were talking about the waste management in solid waste management in Troy.